The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Great exploits via thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Great exploits via thanksgiving. What is great exploit? Great exploit is doing something remarkable or notable. Great exploit is doing something remarkable or something notable. Exploit is not a product of chance. Ordinary people don't do exploits. Exploit doesn't jump on people. It doesn't come on you by chance or by accident. Exploit comes on you by what? By a careful provoking of it. You have to carefully provoke it. Be deliberate. You have to be determined to do what? To provoke it. You have people, there are so many. If there's an award for people that will run like a 100-meter race, everybody cannot be the winner. The winner is the person that takes the what? The determined effort that gets the prize. But it doesn't jump on you. Medals don't jump on people. They give it to them because of what they have provoked it. They have worked for it. Hallelujah. Today, the Lord will open you up to exploits in Jesus' name. And one of the ways of provoking exploits is what? Living a life of gratitude to God. Tell your neighbor, living a life of gratitude to God. You cannot separate men of exploits and gratitude. If you see somebody that is doing so well and is commanding exploits and he's not grateful or he's not giving thanks to God, go and mark that man or that woman. Something is going to be wrong somewhere. Why? Because it is part of it. You must be somebody that must give back. Gratitude is one way of provoking exploits. Some of our people in the Bible that provoked exploits. Number one, Jesus himself provoked exploits. And you know, he was a man at 33. He left at 33. He did so much. But yet, even Jesus that was the Son of God himself, he still gave thanks when he was on earth. So many miracles he gave. Said, Lord, I thank you for this loaf of bread. I thank you for these fishes. And they multiplied. Jesus knew how to thank God. Jesus, the Son of God, how much more we, you and I. Hallelujah. Men and women of exploits in the Bible, David was a man of exploits. He did so much. And David was, he wrote the book of Psalms. We all know so much. Solomon did so much. He was a man of exploits. He wrote Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. These were any man or woman of exploits. They must be people that what? That thanksgivers. How many of us know that thanksgiving, I've said it in the last month, thanksgiving is not a routine. Thanksgiving must not be something we come to do on a Sunday service. No. You must live a life of thanksgiving. If you must experience exploits, you must live a life of thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? It is the act of giving thanks for every benefit you get from God. Hallelujah. Quickly, I'll just say three notes or things you need to note on thanksgiving. Number one, key notes or things you need to note on thanksgiving. If you want to rate your thanksgiving, if you say you are giving thanks to God, after this service, take your note and rate yourself. Number one, don't tamper with your joy. Tell your neighbor, don't tamper with your joy. If you want to give thanks to God, you must be a joyful person. A sorrowful person cannot give thanks. They don't. It's not. Have you tried crying and laughing together? One must stop for the other to proceed, right? Maybe somebody can. Can you try? Cry and laugh together. Let's see. Even the sound, even the somebody is trying to demonstrate it, it's not even, it's in between. If it is in between, you will not laugh, you will not cry. Then you are what? Fit it to yourself. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 16, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 16, verse 10. And gladness is taken away and joy out of the plentiful field. And in the vineyard there shall be no singing, neither shall there be shouting. The treaders shall tread out no wine in their presses. I have made their vintage shouting to cease. You know something? This Bible verse made us understand that anywhere joy is out, there can be no harvest. Where there is no joy, he said, once joy is taken away, the latter phrase, then there won't be wine presses. There's nothing to, there's no harvest. There's no exploits without joy. Hallelujah. Joy comes when there is what? When you have joy, then there is harvest. When you have joy, then harvest is on its way. Hallelujah. The joy, you know, joy. When the Bible says, the merry heart doeth good, like what? Like medicine. Do you know, if joy is something that you can't, it is inexplainable. Joy is something that, if you are so joyful, some people might ask you, Shojeteteni, did you win a lottery? Why? Because they feel there's something around you. Why didn't they say, did somebody die because you are joyful? They won't ask you that kind of question. Joy radiates. Once there is joy radiation, the most abundance must surround the blessing, must surround that person. Blessings must surround the person. Because joy magnets what? Automatic blessings. A joyful person can give thanks. Someone who is not joyful can never give thanks. He can't do it. If you must give thanks and your thanksgiving is acceptable to God, then you must what? Radiate joy. Tell your neighbor, radiate joy. You know, pastor said something, I think was it on Friday? When you know, if you are a pretty lady, you are so fine, you're pretty, and you keep frowning, you frown. Men can't see you, and you are looking for a brother. They can't see you. All they will see is the sister that are calling and that goes. That's all. You understand? But when, even if you are not fine, have you ever, I've seen it before, I don't know if you have seen it. So some ladies, you wonder, they are not just really nice, not nice, but they are not so fine like that. They are just there. But when they smile, honestly, they will attract the most handsome brothers. Oh, I've seen it. I used to be in a church before I got married. That lady was so fat. And he didn't expect. Somebody just said that. Somebody gets married. He said, who? She was the least expect. She was the person they could expect. If you see the guy this sister married, it was a brother that was made on a public holiday. Honestly. And you know, in that kind of my department, you know, in my department then, we're ushers. So a lot of ladies, you know, you work so many good things that you can notice you small somehow. The Lord bless you. But when the ones that are so called fine are not being noticed, yes, the sister that looks so big, she was all radiant. Let me tell you, joy naturally attracts. When you are joyful, you will attract people. Have you tried? You can even, it's an experiment you can try. If you see somebody that bones, it will be difficult for you to ask the person anything. Because when the face is so hard, if you try asking, for the brothers that are good in scoping or toasting, have you ever tried to scope a sister that has that bones? If your English will not gel, you will just be taboying. Because the sister is not giving you correct trafficator. It's not connecting. You understand? Hallelujah. But when it all smells, even when the sister is not available, and she smiles, and you say, can I have your number? She said, but I'm booked. You still have some kind of confidence in you that, even though she's hooked, but she didn't give me six. You can still approach her because of that smile. What am I trying? Joy itself. When you emanate joy, you attract blessing. You are a candidate of what? Exploits. When you are what? Joyful. The Bible says, with joy shall ye draw water out of the well of salvation. I want to say joy is the fetcher for anything, from any well. From the well of salvation. The well of salvation has so much gifts. Blessings, abundance, healings. Anything you can think of. The fetcher to draw out blessing is what? Joy. So with joy shall you draw water out of the well of salvation. You cannot get anything if you are not joyful. Tell your neighbor, be joyful. Be joyful. You know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is what? Is my strength. In other words, strength is key to joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. In other words, if you must get strength, you must be joyful. If the joy of the Lord is your strength, without joy, you have no strength. Strength is emotional strength, physical strength, financial strength. Every strength of any form comes on the platter of what? Joy. The devil would not, let me tell you, some people just say, devil wants to attack my job. It's good. But the main thing the devil is after, it's not your job per se. Do you know why I'm saying that? If the devil takes away, God forbid, if the devil takes away somebody's job, the devil himself will not show up in the office and say, I've replaced Mr. Sule. I am now Sule. Nobody wants to employ the devil, right? The devil will not take your job to replace. He himself will not fill in. He doesn't need a job. He already has a job. His job is to move to and fro and to destroy people. John 10:10. But what he is after is what? Once he wants to kill that joy. Once he knows that if he takes the job away, alright, he wants to believe that your joy is taken away. And your joy will not be taken away in the name of Jesus. When the devil takes your relationship, once what he's after, he cannot date that lady or that brother. What he wants, what he's after is your joy. Once your joy is tampered with, blessings automatically will stop. Once anything you want to do, ensure your joy is sustained. There are times when I go through challenges. My husband usually tells me, don't let anything tamper with your joy. And honestly, I've held on to those words. No matter the circumstance, life will always give us challenges. But you have to be determined to what? To be joyful. It's not as if being joyful doesn't mean that those challenges are not there. They are there. But you're still... Have you ever imagined, perhaps I'm going out and I want to say that this tired girl, I just want to make her cry this morning. And I go to her and I give her a dirty slap. Why? Instead of tired crying, if what tired does is just to do like this. I know she has a way of walking. And then she will just walk and move. If you that gave her the slap, what will happen to you? You will become a fool. You will feel so insulted. You will feel so... You expect her to react and to cry. But if she did not cry, she does the slap and she goes. Who has it gotten back to? It's you. If the devil tries to attack you in any form and you sustain your joy by his help, what happens? You have given the devil a black eye. The devil is automatically concerned. He said, with all I did, he still did not affect this brother. Then what else? It has become a source of concern for the enemy. Why? Because he's not able to take it. Your joy will not be taken away. Tell your neighbor, your joy will not be taken away. Tell your neighbor, your joy will not be taken away. You can't thank God if you are not joyful. Thanksgiving comes with what? A joyful heart. When you rejoice in the midst of difficulties, you give the enemy a black eye. Hallelujah. Number two, something that you must consistently do if you think you are thanking God or if you want to say you are thanking God. You know something, before I move to number two. In here I wrote, Apostle Paul wrote more than half of the New Testament when he was in prison. And if he could write scriptures like, rejoice again, I say rejoice. Do you know the kind of prison he was? Bible scholars made us understand that the kind of prison he was were the kind of prison that sewage, Igbe, that's what we call sewage, urine, everything. He was in the same dungeon when he was, where he was. So the thing is, where he sits is where the thing is. Raw, not refined. Raw. And yet, he could still write scriptures like, rejoice again, I say rejoice. He could still say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. He could still say all this. If you read your Bible, there were letters from Apostle Paul. Letters. He was in prison, in the midst of shit and poop and everything. He wrote to those that were freed. Yet his joy was not bound by that prison. Brethren, challenges will face you as Christians. That's the hard truth. But you must choose to sustain your joy. Hallelujah. Choose to sustain your joy. Tell your neighbor, sustain your joy. Sustain that joy. And the Lord will give you great exploits. In the name of Jesus. Number two, thanksgiving must be consistent. Number two, thanksgiving must be consistent. Psalm 30 verse 12b. Psalm 30 verse 12b says, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Thanksgiving must be consistent. A consistent thanksgiver is one whose thanksgiving is not limited to a particular period. Thanksgiving must be consistent. Thanking God today and not thanking God tomorrow does not make you a thanksgiver. Thanksgiving, for it to be acceptable, what? Must be consistent. He says here, I will give thanks unto thee. When? When? That forever, is it only day? Is it only every Tuesday? Every Monday? Or just Sunday once in a month? Every day, forever. Thanksgiving, consistent thanksgiving is not a conditional thanksgiving. When I have money, I thank God. That's not it. When you have and when you don't have, thank him. You have a husband, you don't have a husband, thank him. Oh, you have children. You don't have children yet. Thank him. Irrespective of whatever, thanksgiving must be what? Must be what? In Psalm 67, verse 5 to 6. Psalm 67, verse 5 to 6. It says, let the people praise thee, O Lord. Let the people praise thee. Verse 6. Then shall the earth, then. You know, for us that are read English. The verse 5 says, let the people praise thee, O Lord. Let the people praise thee. And then verse 6. Then. The Bible didn't say, the earth yields our increase. Then the people of God will praise thee. No. Praise comes forth. Then what happens? Earth will yield our increase. Let the people praise thee, O Lord. Let the people. It's repetition. Let the people praise thee, and let the people. And then it is in your praising God, consistent praises, that what? That your exploits come from. Don't wait for the exploits before you thank him. In the Christendom, you don't wait for the results before you thank him. You thank him, and then the result comes. In the physical world, somebody gives you something before you say thank you. But in the spiritual, we say thank you before the thing comes. That's how it works. And if we as spiritual beings, as kingdom-minded people, we have to work with. I said, when you praise him, then will your earth yield our increase. And I pray for every one of us here, our earth will yield our increase in Jesus' name. I said, thanksgiving must be consistent. In the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 17 to 18, there was a story of three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three guys were good Christians. But what happened? They were faced with a situation. And they were faced with a situation. It's either they bow out. Look, if you bow to another God, then your life will be spared. But they didn't do that. They decided to thank and worship God in whatever situation life brings for them. Let's read together. I said, if it be so, our God whom we serve, he is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. But if not, can you imagine? If not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy God. In other words, the God I serve, whether he delivers me or he doesn't deliver me, I will still serve him. Those kind of Christians are rare. Many Christians only want to be Christians because whenever you call on God, he will always answer. Brethren, whenever we call on God, he always answers. Yes. But there are times where if he doesn't answer your prayers now, it doesn't mean that those prayers are not, it doesn't mean you are, it doesn't mean that those things are deprived of you yet. That he did not answer your prayers now does not mean that what? He deprived you of those prayers. He hasn't deprived you. But look at this Hebrew boy. They said, even if God, he will not answer us, we will still not bow. I want us to get to that level. This is an unconditional platform of thanksgiving. They resolved not to serve any, even if the God we serve still doesn't come to our rescue. You are not still an alternative. The devil cannot be an alternative. Satan cannot be an alternative. Some people will tell you, look, I have prayed and prayed and prayed for God to give me a husband. If he doesn't give me one, then let me resort to something else. Some people will even tell you, let me try for 2 more years. If he doesn't still give me any husband, then I will resort to something else. Somebody gives you something and say, just put it in your eye. Color pencil, black. And any man you desire that you want to marry, just look at him straight and say, Temini, it is mine. And then you too, you collect the thing, you put it. You say, Temini, you marry. Having married, the man now shows you his true color. Beats blue daylight out of you. Honestly. Praise the Lord. You know, people do it. Some people, because if God cannot do it, there's a slogan that we used to say sometime in this church. If God cannot, anything you feel God cannot do it, leave it. If God cannot do it, no other person can do it. But we must get to a level whereby, thank God. Don't expect, even when he doesn't do that thing, still hold on, because there is no other alternative anywhere. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, there is no other alternative. The devil is not an alternative. You know, recently I was listening to a message by one of our fathers in the faith, that's Baba Adeboye. He was saying something, and then he said, he many years ago, he buried one of his children. And I said, wow, how can a big man of God like that, one of his biological children died in his hands, and then he had to bury one of them. This is a great man of God that God has used to raise the dead. The child was sick from what I gathered. God has used him to heal millions. In fact, let me use billions. Millions is an understatement. Billions of people. And I asked myself, why couldn't God himself heal this man of God's son that he had to bury? But you know, those are things that we don't need to question God for. If as believers, even when you are faced with challenges, but you know something, that happened many years ago. But if Baba said, look, God, you allowed me to bury my child. All right, from now on, I'm not serving you again. Or from now on, that's all. But he did not do it. After what God had done, greater, many things, and he's still doing it through that man's life. Hallelujah. What am I trying to say? Your thanksgiving must not be what? Must be consistent and must not be conditional to God. Job 13:15. He says, even though he slay me, I will what? I will still remain. Job 13:15 said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. I will maintain my own ways before him. I will maintain my own ways before him. No matter what happens, choose to trust God. Choose to believe him. Choose to thank him. So, even if you feel there is no reason why I should thank him, the more reason why I should still just trust him. I was reading a book, and the book says, even if you can't seem to answer the questions around you, God, why? Instead of asking God the questions, just say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. When you completely trust God and miss so much, it doesn't tamper with your thanksgiving. Hallelujah. It is easier for you to thank him better. Tell your neighbor, thank him better. Hallelujah. If there's anything like thanksometer might be my own meter, which you use in measuring your thanksgiving. If your thanksometer is not full every day, you need to question yourself. Because we owe God so much. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, you owe God so much. Check your meter every day. You need to check your meter. You know, because God has been doing so much for us, and then we must be consistent. You know, don't be conditional. Because you woke up, they sacked you from work today and said, I'm not going to church again. Or for the next 1 month, some people say, I need a retreat. Which retreat? I need to go and, you know, I need some space. I need to get myself thinking. What are you thinking? When you cannot come to his presence to give back. If he took that job, perhaps give a bigger one. Or perhaps even give you your own company. Hallelujah. In Luke, there was a story of a woman in Luke chapter 13. That woman was bent over for 18 years. Do you know something amazing about this woman? For 18 years, this woman had this infirmity. For 18 years. But this woman was consistent in the place of worship. She was consistent that when Jesus came visiting, the time and hour Jesus was going to visit was not announced. But Jesus visited, and this woman was still found in the temple. In verse 16 of Luke 13, it made me to understand. Verse 16 says that woman was a son, I mean, was a daughter of, she was a, verse 16, that woman was a daughter of Abraham. And if she was a daughter, it means she was a believer. And if she was a believer, why was she bound for 18 years? But yet, her consistency gave way for every long-standing problem in her life. Brethren, your consistency in the place of thanksgiving will give you up, or will open up every long-standing problem in your life. Every reproach that looks so hard, so difficult. Don't serve God today and say, let me get another alternative. Just continue. Consistency. Very soon, that adversity will give up. Very soon, that problem will be visited. And I decree in the name of Jesus that everything that looks like a long-standing situation, a long-standing problem, as you determine to thank God today and to make it consistent, in the name of Jesus, that reproach will be visited. That reproach will be visited. That thing that looks like a shame will be rolled away in the name of Jesus. Shame, reproach is rolled away in the place of what? Consistent thanksgiving. Don't give up. If what you are doing is thanking him genuinely and you are doing it, just don't give up. And God will visit you in the name of Jesus. Number 3, key notes in thanksgiving. Don't tamper with your faith. Tell your neighbor, don't tamper with your faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently what? Seek him. Whenever you thank God, you must do it what? In faith. Anything we do outside faith is not acceptable. It's not me, that's what the Bible says. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please. In fact, for Christians, faith is oxygen. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Alright? Faith is our oxygen. So if you don't have oxygen, what happens? You can be choked out of life. That's a simple so logic. Faith is what helps you to live, sustain. If you are thanking God without faith, there's no point thanking him. You are just, well, that thing, you don't need to do it. Do it wholeheartedly and trust him. Alright? Thanking God, you must thank him in faith. And that is why as believers, even Jesus trained us. Thank him. Pastor will say, sandwich your prayers. He said, thank him before, thank him after, and put your prayers in between. Thanking him before is a sign that, Lord, even before I've prayed, you know what I need. And after I've prayed, it is settled. Thanking him and thanking him just like that is not enough, but thanking him in faith. For the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you must please him, then you must do it in faith. The fact that you thank God last month or yesterday and you didn't get an answer to your prayers does not mean God does not exist. It's only a challenge of your faith. It's only a challenge of your faith. Faith under attack is life under attack. When your faith is under attack, then your life is under attack. The devil wants to, once, if the devil is able to steal somebody's joy, like I rightly said initially, what happens? Then your faith, it's likely to be under attack because you begin to look depressed and then you begin to think all you have prayed. Perhaps you have listed 10 prayer points in your prayer card and God has been able to answer one. Yeah, for now. You know, say, you see, that's the sole reason. God has not answered me yet. Out of 10 prayer points, out of 10, you have become a philosopher before God. 10, remember me, whoa, 10 solid prayer points. God answered just one for now. We are still in macho. 10! And he has not. Tell me the reason why should I go to church. Tell me. If out of 10, in fact, he has not even answered one, says, I should still be. You don't need to start philosophizing. I'll be out there putting, don't do philosophy of dying. Don't analyze. Pastor will always say that analysis that can lead to paralysis is not needed. Hallelujah. But trust God. Hoping, in faith, anything you do as believers, faith. Don't let your faith be under attack. Tell your neighbor, your faith must not be under attack. In Hebrews 11, it showed us so many names of men of faith. They were able to do exploits. They did so many things. They did great things. They were only able to do that via faith. This one did this via faith. That one, through faith, Rahab did this. Through faith, Abraham did this. Through faith, this. Men of exploits are made via what? Via faith. Faith attracts exploits. The opposite of faith is what? Fear. Fear attracts what? Calamities. The same faith and fear work with similar principles. Faith attracts exploits. Fear attracts what? Calamities. For us this morning, our faith will attract great exploits in Jesus' name. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, it says, they that know their God shall be strong and they shall do what? Exploit. That knowing God, if you claim you know God, you must be a man or woman of faith. They that know their God shall be strong. Being strong is in what? Position of faith. Hallelujah. Daniel 11:32. They that know their God shall be strong and they shall what? Do exploit. Fear is from the devil. So put away anything called fear around your life and do what? Accept faith. Increase your faith. You know, faith multiplies. In fact, faith is contagious. Do you know that? I'll prove it to you. Faith, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing the word of God. What does that mean? If I keep hearing the faith, if I keep hearing, my faith is boosted. You understand? So it means it's contagious. The more I hear, the more my faith is built up. The same thing with fear. Fear comes by hearing. The more fear you hear, the more fearful you become. So tell your neighbor, hear faith. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 2 to 4, it made me understand that God doesn't want us to exercise fear. If you want God to go with you in any area, then you must not what? Must not be fearful. Deuteronomy 20, verse 2 to 4. And it shall be, when ye are come near unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. Verse 3. And shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your heart do what? What's the next one? Fear not. That's the word. And do not what? Neither be ye terrified because of them. Verse 4. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. In other words, if you want God to go with you in any aspect of your life, don't what? Don't be fearful. Jump to verse 8. Verse 8, that same chapter. And what? Let's read together. And what? No, verse 8, please. And the officer shall speak further. Let's read together. And the officer shall speak further unto the people. And they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Wait, is there anyone who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let's see what will happen to that man. Let him go and do what? Let his brethren's heart. Have you seen that fear is contagious? God was telling them, anyone who is fearful should be quarantined. Take them to their house like Ebola. It's true. Because it is contagious. So if having gotten so much word from this place today, all right, and from here you move on, and somebody is trying to contaminate you, just quarantine yourself. Or quarantine the person. Let him or her not do what? Because fear is contagious. So they will not go wrong, eh? That's the best thing. So don't let them. Fear is contagious. Faith is contagious. For you and I today, faith is increased in the name of Jesus. The more your faith is, the more exploits you do. Number 4, stay clear of sin. Stay clear of sin. Thanksgiving, you cannot thank God, or your thanksgiving is not acceptable if you are still dwelling in sin. That's the basics. You can't say you are a thanksgiver, a genuine, and then your thanksgiving is acceptable. You know, the psalmist says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable. In other words, it's possible for it not to be acceptable. What makes it acceptable or not being acceptable is what? When you offer it to God on a platter of a good and clear conscience free from sin. Tell your neighbor, ask your neighbor, is your conscience, is your mind free from sin this morning? When you stay clear of sin, then your thanksgiving is acceptable. You know, have you tried, if you see a man that just fell into a canal. A canal is a dirty, like a big gutter. Dirty, with so much refuse. Let's say vomit, everything is there, yama yama, like that. And then a huge man, that wore white, fell into the place and came out. And he's holding in his hand a plate of food. The food is inyo, a 4-year-old, that has peppered snail, bokoto, chicken, that has it all. And he's holding it in his hand. And he stretches it towards you. Ladies and gentlemen, will you? Eh? Why? No, because he's filthy. No matter how attractive the thing he holds, in as long as the presenter is filthy, there is nothing palatable about that food. Even if it is palatable, you can't see it. The hunger will go. I'd rather take water than take that kind of delicacy. Because it can end me where? In the hospital. Praise the Lord. Maybe not end in the hospital. But many of us are in the hospital of what? Sin. Hallelujah. Because that's how the devil is. The devil is filthy. He presents. When you come to before God and you with sin, when you thank God and you don't, and you have not ripped yourself, you have not given yourself to him, you know what? You are only reporting yourself. You are reporting yourself before God. You are reporting yourself before God. Because thanking God without a clear conscience is reporting yourself before God. Say, see me, oh, I am that stupid fornicator. See me, oh, I am that stupid man. I just did this. You are only reporting yourself. If that man had stayed in the canal, you may not even notice the food in the first place. But that he brought out the food with the dirty mind, you are reporting yourself. Hallelujah. There is a story in 1 Samuel chapter 5. I will just paraphrase what happened in that 1 Samuel chapter 5 from verse 1 to 10. The ark of God, Jejeli, was seated. And then the Philistines went to the ark, took it, hijacked the ark, took it to their camp. And they had the effrontery to do what? to put it in the temple of Dagon. Can you imagine? That's why thanking God. See, thanking God, if your mind is not right, your heart is not right with God, your thanksgiving can never be accepted. You are only reporting yourself. But for your thanksgiving to be accepted this morning, once it's time for altar call, just ask God, Lord, have mercy. Simple sentence. Accept me, and that's all. But if you still dwell in your sin, and you now thank him, or you keep thanking him, you feel you are thanking him, you're only reporting yourself. That ark was taken to Dagon's temple. And what happened? The first day, the so-called stupid image fell flat before the ark of God. And I want to believe that their priests will say, they will have chanted so many incantations and said, no, this cannot be. And then they took the thing up again. Igwam. The following day, what happened? God taught them a lesson. The head was off. The palms was off. The thing was scattered at the doorway. And then the thing was flat again. It's still, and then not just that this time around. It was then their eyes opened. I said, this is not normal. Definitely the ark of God must have caused it. Bringing the ark of God to where it's filthy is reporting the environment to God. What does that mean? When the Philistines were not attacked, quote and unquote. If you read the Bible further in that scriptures, you find out that God dealt with them. So much plagues, boils, so many horrible things happened to them. Why? Because they invited the ark into what? A filthy environment. When you are thanking God and your heart is not right, you are reporting yourself before God. You are giving yourself more punishment than you can imagine. Look at the Bible. If you go to read it, what happened to them? Before they could say Jack Robinson, they thought the deed was limited to just their shrine, but it was not. Many of them had been what? They had been plagued. So many, they had been so much crying in the town. There's a song. Say, Dagoni Shubulule, Niwaju Apoti Yeri. Everything that represents Dagon in your life today must bow before God. You know what Dagon is? Dagon is a reproach. Dagon represents stagnation. Anything that refuses to allow the expression of God to take manifest in your life, anything that doesn't allow the glory of the Lord to be shown in your life, is like a Dagon. It's a God that has no sense, that is just there occupying space. Matter is anything that has weight and occupies space. It's like matter. Hallelujah. So the Lord today, via your thanksgiving, is going to clear every Dagon in your life in the name of Jesus. Quickly, how ways of showing gratitude. Number one, you show gratitude via praise. I've told us some four keynotes on thanksgiving. And how do you show this gratitude to God? Number one, via praise. Praise is appreciating God for who he is. Praise is a weapon of warfare. I hope you all know. Praise. There's something in, you know, for us as believers. Jehoshaphat, God told Jehoshaphat, and then they went to fight. The wall of Jericho broke down flat. They used one particular weapon. That weapon was the weapon of what? Praise. And you know something? There's something they call AK-47, right? And there's another rifle they call GPMG, General Purpose Machine Gun. If you cock it, it says general purpose. It's what? Functions for every purpose, whether in the day or in the night. Anything, anyhow, is just GPMG. Praise is a GPMG. Hallelujah. If you are having prayed and prayed and you just can't seem to understand, go and get your GPMG. But that GPMG can only work when the first four facts that we treated earlier is in place. When your joy is not tampered with, when you have stayed clear of sin. What's the next one? When it's consistent, and then what? Don't tamper with your faith. Use that GPMG and your enemies will what? With confirmed dead. Your enemies will be confirmed dead. In the name of Jesus. I say your enemies will be confirmed dead. Praise is a warfare that we must keep using as believers. You know, it's a mystery. We can't understand. Once you sink, the camp of the enemy is destroyed. You know, we just sink and then the enemies can't understand. God, they can't understand, because the Bible says God inhabits the praise of his people. When you start singing and the atmosphere is set, God comes into that situation. Hallelujah. Gimme, Abasi, gimme. How many of us understand? Abasi, gimme, gimme. Abasi, gimme, gimme. I've taught you one for that today. Hallelujah. Amanam, hey, Abasi, Amanam, hey, Amanam. Hey, Abasi, Amanam, so, Eba, Amanam. Hey, Abasi, Amanam, hey, Amanam. Hey, Abasi, Amanam, so. Number two way of what? Showing gratitude to God via your offerings and sacrifices. Number two, via your offerings and sacrifices. You can't say you are thankful to God and you are not giving to God. A thanksgiver is an addicted giver. An addicted giver of offerings, sacrifices. Solomon gave 1,000 offerings in one day. 1,000. He killed it. One, two. Have you tried counting before? One cow, two cows, three cows, four. Like that. So 500, 600, 700, 800. In one day. Brethren, that is given. And when God saw that, what happened? God said, yay! Yeah. What happened? What do you want? It's a blank check. Blank. If I give some of you a blank check now, say, what do you want? Don't be deceived though. One of my fathers in the faith said I'm sure pastor has listened to that message. He said he told somebody. Somebody came to him and said he needed something. I can't even remember. So he said, okay, ask him, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? And then someone asked, what do you want me to do for you? Shouldn't be, if you want to know that you are purpose driven. For me, if you ask me, if God, if mistakenly, don't let me use mistakenly, ask me, I will pour everything down. He will tell me, say, okay, it's okay. Because I already have it. Do you know that what that brother did? That brother said, sir, I will come back. I will come and I will go and think about it. I will come back and get to you. That's the kind of brother pastor usually call NFA. It's true. You have someone that could help you and said, what do you want? Immediately, I will download. He's left for the person to now say, okay, don't worry, I will help you with number one and two. I cannot do three and four. He said, I will get back to you. And the man of God said, till that time he was speaking, he still hadn't gotten back to him. One shay, one D, one tele. Hallelujah. He's confirmed. Praise the Lord. Because it's the truth. Hallelujah. Going back to what we are saying, offering. When you a thanksgiver, if you are a genuine thanksgiver, some of us will say we are thanking God. You are coming to church. You say, maybe your friend is this. I say, BC, please wait. Let me get change. I say, I want to buy a pa. Please, 50 naira. Do you have change, 20 naira? I say, okay. You collect change. Because you are coming to church, you want to change the money. Some people will even go and ask Usher, please, I need 100 naira change. Let me break it into two, three, 20 naira, five. Then you join the three together, put it, say, God understands. God does not understand that kind of thing. Hallelujah. Thanks. If many of us covet good things, go and ask what those people have done. Solomon, we all envy his kind of wealth. The Bible says even the spoon that he uses is pure gold. His cup, pure gold. Yeah, what's hard? Read your Bible, it's there. Pure gold. If it were Niger time, what if far? Oh, Jehovah, straight. Praise the Lord. You know, pure gold. That's to tell you that in his time, gold was like, you know, he was stupendously rich, wealthy. This wealth did not just jump on him. Something happened. He sacrificed. Look at Abraham. We're all talking about Abraham. Before Abraham left his father's house, he didn't live with his father's house so much. He left with lots. The things he left with could be counted. But having left, what happened? The Lord blessed him so much. The blessings didn't just jump on him. God swore over Abraham, said, look, in blessing I will bless you. Why? God tested him with his son. He said, Kilole Jor Beni Hilojo. And then he said, okay, sacrifice your son. And then Abraham said, oh, gladly I will. He took it. He was about slaying the boy. And then the word came forth. Brethren, can you sacrifice for God? That's the truth. We should ask ourselves. Sometimes we feel some money are too big for us to drop for God. Oh, we feel that God, we cannot see him. But the God that has sustained you and I, the God that has not allowed your enemies to rejoice over you. If you were to pay, if a human being shows up and say, look, or let me say a human being, you have somebody wanted to shoot you, right? And the human being came, he was bulletproof. and did like all those movies and did like this. Took the bullet for you and then took it down. You, as a human being, you want to pay him somehow. If you have the money, say, ah, thank you for sparing my life or for keeping me from death. If you want to pay that kind of person, how much will you pay him? Because you'll be thinking, if not for him, you'll have been 6 feet down. But our God is a good God. The God that Pastor and myself were talking yesterday, said sometimes we dine with our enemies. We chat with them. We even tell them secret things that is eating us up, not knowing that that's the same enemy that is after you. But the God we serve did not give you up for your enemies. Enemies are not from far. It's within. The Yoruba will say the kokoro chopping the vegetable is under the vegetable. Permit me, use the English. Anyhow, Google it. Fix it. They say my English is not correct. Fix it up. Hallelujah. So in other words, God that has spared us, preserved us, He daily, He knows everything about you. He preserves us. He keeps us. He does so many things. We come to church, we give Him change. 5, 10 naira, 20 naira. Change your offering as God is blessing you. That shows your heart is right with Him. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 50, verse 5, say, gather to me all my sins that are what? Bound by what? Sacrifices. When you are, He said, gather my sins together unto me. Those that have made a covenant with me by what? By sacrifice. When you are a sacrificial person, when you keep giving to God, what happens? You are making a covenant with Him. And God is a faithful God. His own covenant, His own path, He will always keep. Keep your path. He swore over Abraham. That was a covenant. Why? Because of giving. He swore over, even Solomon. He decided to preserve him. Why? Because of his giving. Your giving opens up for you. So tell your neighbor, change your level of giving. It shows your sign of gratitude to him. Hallelujah. Then lastly, is what? Service. One major way of showing that you are thankful to God is to do what? Give him yourself. Serve God. Serve God with your time. Serve God with your money. Serve God with the talent that God has given you. Everything that you can serve Him with. Those are one of the ways of showing God that you are grateful. If you say you are grateful to God and you are not serving Him in his house, then you are not yet grateful. Hallelujah. But one major way that you can tell God that you are grateful is to give Him your entire life. Brethren, I will be deceiving if I don't tell you this truth. Jesus is coming back, and it's coming back sooner than we all expect. The signs are all everywhere. He says, and in the end time, the love of many shall wax cold. Men shall be lovers of themselves. He says, there shall be wars and rumors of wars. You read your Bible. All these things that the Bible has said, everything is happening. There will be peace. There will not be, this place will be declaring war, that one war, earthquakes here, earthquakes there. These are all signs of the end time. But if Jesus comes right now, you and I, are we going with Him?
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.